Imagine plummeting from the peak of your life to the depths of despair. $250,000 down the drain, a dear loved one lost, and a broken body. That was me in 2023. But then one conference, one book, and one powerful message changed everything. This isn't just my comeback story, it's a blueprint for yours. My name's Matt O'Neill, and I'm your host at The Good Mood Show. And in this episode, I'm laying it all out there. My gritty journey from my worst year to my best life. Get ready, because this episode could just flip your world right side up.
Welcome to The Good Mood Show. Here's your host, Matt O'Neill.
Last year, I was in a major rut. The host of The Good Mood Show, and I had my worst mood year ever. Up until last year, I personally had felt like every single year of my life was my best year yet. My life just kept getting better and better and better. It wasn't so great when I was 5. It got better by the time I was 10. It felt like it got better when I was 15. It felt even better when I was 25. It felt amazing at 35. It felt like great at 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41. And then last year at 42, I hit the bottom. You know, interest rates rose so rapidly and I was caught on my heels. I thought I was prepared and I wasn't. We lost between $50,000 and $100,000 of cash out of our bank account every single month. We ended up compiling consecutive losses up to $330,000. And I didn't know if we were going to get out of it or if we were going to go out of business. We thought we were going to lose our home. You know, I had to make some really hard changes that I didn't want to make. People I loved, I'd worked with for years, I had to let go. You know, at the same time, I was going to the cancer ward every single week with my mom and my stepdad. My stepdad was fighting a battle with cancer, and then we lost him in April. And then at the same time, I tore my labrum completely in my left shoulder that month. You know, April was probably the lowest low that I can recall. And, you know, after the changes I made, things started to get better on the outside world, but my inside world stayed pretty bad. Everything changed for me in one moment. And it can for you too, if you're going through a tough season. And that moment was going to Adam Roach's I Love Coaching conference. You know, sometimes when you're stuck in a rut, you need outside perspective and you need other people's positive energy to pull you up. And that's exactly what happened to me. I went into a very positive environment in that coaching conference, and everyone there, the speakers were so excited about the future. The attendees were so excited about the future. The energy got me excited again. And at that conference, I heard about this book. The book was called Be Your Future Self Now by Dr. Benjamin Hardy. And I bought the book. And the words in that book completely changed my life. And I got back to where my current mindset is today, which is feeling like this is the best year of my life, 2024. In Q4, I started to think again, hey, Q4 could be the greatest quarter of my life. In this episode, I'm going to share the wisdom from that book that had an impact on me and my takeaway from the wisdom of that book and how it changed me from my lowest low to my best year yet. Dr. Hardy says, we're not driven by the past. We're pulled forward by the future we are committed to most. So when I was suffering so much last year, it was because I was clinging to a past that had gone away. You know, I was clinging to interest rates being lower in a business that made money with a certain way of operating, and that wasn't happening again. I was clinging to having Opa, our beloved Opa, at all of our family events and seeing him every week for coffee and for our conversations, and you know, and that wasn't going to happen again. I was clinging to my shoulder not having a torn labrum and being completely healthy as it had been, but you can't get that back. You know, at the conference, and once I started to read this book, I shifted from focusing on the past to focusing on the future. I decided I was going to create the most compelling future possible. And I let go of that past that no longer existed. And I was able to then, once I started to focus on a compelling future again, rather than clinging to a past that was gone, I was able to then make a compelling present. So the connection that you have with your future self determines the quality of your life right now. Contemplate your future self often, and you're going to make better decisions in the present. If you don't think about your future often, you're probably going to make poor decisions in the present. I started to visualize an amazing future every single day. I set my priorities for where I wanted to go. And in the book, Dr. Hardy says it is really important to set three major priorities for your life. I set my three big priorities for my life. One, profits. My biggest priority was I'm going to get my business back to making profits again, no matter what. I'm going to do whatever it takes to make profits. Two, I'm going to grow the Good Mood brand and have a 10 times bigger impact than we have right now. And we're doing amazing. It's a top 5% global podcast. Well, I want to be in the top 0.0% where I'm impacting thousands of people's lives every day. And then three, I'm going to have epic family time this year. We're going to take epic trips. I started to visualize my family just having the greatest time doing things that are extraordinary. And so with those three priorities set, I then had a super, and I do have an incredibly compelling future. And those three things being set for what I'm focused on this year now drive every decision I'm making right now. So your task from this episode is to say, what are the three priorities in your future? What are the three things that should be driving every behavior? Where you can ask yourself in any moment, is what I'm doing right now taking me closer to one of these three priorities? If so, it's a good thing to do. And if it's taking me further away from one of these three priorities, it's probably not helping me for what I really want in my life. Dr. Hardy says, your connection to your future self creates meaning in the present. And I totally agree. You know, to get to profits, my number one priority, I have to work harder than I've had to work in the past 5 years. I still have to make really hard cost cuts. You know, these decisions kind of suck in the present. But it's connected to a future that is so compelling for me that I can endure it and have a good attitude about it. You know, I haven't interviewed people to work with my company for years. I've always had, within the past 5 years, I've had a full-time recruiter that takes all the interviews. Well, under the new financial model that we have, in order for us to be profitable, there's not a recruiter. So I've got interviews on my calendar every day. Well, I could totally suffer doing these tasks saying, oh, it's not, you know, in the past it was better. I didn't have to do this work. But I'm not suffering because my vision is that we're going to be profitable. And I'm so committed to that vision that I'm willing to do what it takes with a great attitude because my present, I see the activities I'm doing in the present as powerful and as exciting and as helping my family. So it's because they're connected to this future goal that I'm not suffering. I'm actually enjoying it. You know, Dr. Hardy says that when you contemplate your future self, it'll also show you the gold mine that you're sitting on right now. So this is one of my favorite things to do when I'm in a funk. I'll think of myself at age 80. You know, my body's weak and my children have all grown and left the house, of course, and are doing what they're doing. You know, and I don't even know if they're all alive because there's no guarantee that my four children will be alive at that time. You know, there's no guarantee that my wife, Katie, my beloved wife, will be here and alive any longer. So thinking of myself at age 80 as my future, when I come back to today and I feel this strong, fit, young body, I'm like, yes, man, I'm so strong and fit and healthy. And what a gift. I can move. I can, you know, ride my bike. I can play basketball. I can go surfing. Like, amazing. I'm so happy for this body today. And then when my children who had just been annoying me possibly, or had been a burden for me for all the work that is required to take care of four young children, all of a sudden I'm like, man, if I was 80, I would give anything to come back and hug these angels. So contemplating your future self can show you a gold mine. Then I'll look at my wife, Katie, and she's so beautiful. And I think, man, if I was 80, what I would give to come back here and see beautiful Katie O'Neill and just feel so lucky to be married to her. So anytime you get in a funk, contemplate yourself at age 80 or 85 and imagine that version of you gets to come back for one day and live in your current life, and you will see the gold mine that you are sitting on in the present. Shifting gears, Dr. Hardy talks about how really this concept of future self relates to good moods in a big way. He says that the quality of your mental health happens because of two things. One, you have an exciting future. And that's what we've been discussing this whole time. When you make a really compelling future, your mental health skyrockets. I've just told you how it's happened for me this year. It'll happen for you too as you make a really compelling future. But the other piece that we don't often contemplate, the second thing that adds to your mental health, is having a positive past. Having a positive past has very little to do with the events that actually occurred. Your past is just a story. The past doesn't even exist. Only the present exists. The past is a tool. You use the tool of your past, which is the stories that you tell yourself about your past, to make it really powerful for you. So the more you reframe the story about what you're telling yourself about the past under your control, you're choosing how you're framing the past, the better your present gets. So let's take the story I told to start this episode about the poor me, you know, the poor me who lost all that money every month, and the poor me who got the injured shoulder, and the poor me who lost a man I love dearly. Well, what I did from reading this book is I started to reframe each of those stories to see how they were positive. Now, this may seem like, you know, false thinking. It's not. It's just a story. So let's take the first part of it. Yes, the truth is we lost $330,000 in the first few months of the year. But the story that is powerful for that, and it is, like, it's a comeback story. I found a resilience in me that I didn't know if I still had. I found resilience to do whatever it took to turn things around, and we succeeded. It's like freaking Rocky. Like, I got punched and punched and punched, but I refused to quit. And I got up and I threw punches back. You know, I'm a stronger business person than I've ever been. I'm smarter. I've gone through things now that I hadn't gone through. Yeah, they weren't comfortable to go through, but the resilience that I found has made me a better version of me. You know, the second thing, it's true. We lost Oprah. Of course, I wish he was here. But the powerful part of it is that I rose up. I cared for a man I loved. I've never had that opportunity to care for someone in those stages. And then I rose up for my mom, and I'm still rising up for my mom. It was a huge loss, but I showed her how much I love her, and we brought her into our family, and we're helping her create a compelling future. So I found a greater version of me in the face of this adversity. You know, the third thing, yes, my labrum is torn in my left shoulder, but because it's torn, I've made a decision that I'm going to become the strongest physically I've ever been. You know, I changed my diet. Once I found out this news, I added 100 grams of protein every single day. I'm lifting heavier weights than I've ever lifted. I hired a personal trainer that I work out with every Thursday morning. He's pushing me so hard. This guy is like world class. His name's Greg Banks. And Greg was the personal trainer for the women's Olympic soccer team. Like the best athletes in the world. And now Greg is training me. And then I picked the strongest dude I know, Adam Roach. And I said, man, let me lift with you. And so yesterday I went to the gym with Adam at 5:30 in the morning, and he's so strong. And he's like, all right, we're going to do sets of 10 pull-ups. We did 6 sets of 10 pull-ups. And in between, we were doing back exercises with a ton of weight, shoulder exercises, and bicep exercises. It was a huge workout. And you know what? My shoulder is stronger than it was before I got injured. The injury has motivated me to become a better version of me. So I'm not a worse version of me because of the injury, I'm better. And that's how I can reframe my past. And you can do the same thing. Think of things that you're upset about in your past. Take a moment. Think of some of the stories you tell yourself about poor you. What are some of the ways that you feel hurt or that you feel you've been wronged? Where have you been a victim? Now, how can you reframe the story? Tell that story again so that it's an asset for you. When you make your past better, your present becomes better, and you set yourself up for a bigger future. The better you make your past, the better your present, and the bigger your future. And reframing your past is a skill. It's something that you're going to want to do often. I'm doing it every single week now. Well, actually, every day. So every single morning, the first thing I write in my journal is 3 things that I did well yesterday. That means every single day, I'm reframing my past from the day before to see where I was good. That's a story. Now, every day I tell a story of how yesterday was good. And then at the end of the week, I go back through the journal and then I think, what were the greatest, most significant ways I made progress last week? And so I'm reframing the week to see how I was winning and where I did great. And then from that point, I say, now that I've done all those great things, what's the most important thing I could do this coming week to take me closer to my goals? And then at the end of each quarter, I'm going back through those weekly reframes and I'm saying, what are the greatest things I did? What are the most significant ways I've grown this quarter? And now, how could I grow even more in the next 90 days? So this is the way that I'm systematically retelling the story of my past. And the better you make your past, the more confident you become. And then the more confident you are, the happier you are, the better mood you have. And then the more confident you are, the bigger future you can make. And it's this complete upward spiral. Dr. Hardy recommends that you design your environment to become who you want to become. When we say environment, you know, the most important part of your environment is the people you choose to hang around. The people in your life are either having a positive effect on you or a negative effect on you. A true friend is someone who makes your future bigger. So think about the people that you hang around. Are they people that are inspiring you to become that greatest future version of yourself? You know, when I started to contemplate this question, that's when I reached out to Adam Roach and I said, dude, I want to work out with you. And I sent him a text and said, hey, I've got Tuesdays open. I know you're at the gym on Tuesdays. I'll be there on Tuesdays. What time? And he said, okay, Tuesday, 5:30. This was 3 weeks ago. Monday night, I texted him. I said, hey, see you at the gym tomorrow. He texted me and said, oh man, hey, school just got canceled tomorrow. Sorry, I can't work out with you. I'm going to work out with my son later in the day. I said, hey, no problem, man. We'll do it again some other time. Well, I still wanted to be around Adam Roach. So the next week I texted him and I said, hey man, Tuesday morning, are we good for a workout? He said, yeah, absolutely. Monday night again, I texted him and I said, hey man, looking forward to tomorrow, 5:30. And he texted me back. He said, oh dude, hate to do this, but I promised Dana, his wife, that he would spend time with her. And you know, at this point I'm like, okay, well maybe he doesn't want to spend as much time around me as I want to spend around him. But I didn't give up because I know that who I hang around is going to shape my destiny. So this week I said, I saw him face to face. We had a meeting with some of our buddies and we were talking about our futures. And I'm like, dude, I want to work out with you, man. And he said, yeah, let's do it Tuesday. And I'm like, Tuesday, great. So Monday again, I texted him and I said, hey dude, 5:30. He said 5:30. And so I showed up and I was there with him and his energy. So just being in the energy of someone like Adam Roach elevates my mood because his energy is so positive, so powerful, such a can-do person that, you know, the two of us getting together, like my environment is through the roof. And of course we're, you know, doing crazy big workouts. And then my confidence is through the roof. My future is bigger because I didn't take the first two rejections personally. And I was more committed to my future than I was to feeling rejected. And so, you know, just because you tried something once and got rejected, don't give up. Clarify what you want in your future, and you're going to start to see it everywhere. So in the story that I just told, I want to be stronger than ever. Well, there's all these ways I can get stronger. You know, I met my buddy Andrew Moeller, and I said, "Hey, buddy, man, you're so strong. What are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I'm eating this protein." I'm like, "Tell me more." And he said, "Well, this is the exact brand, and I'm using these essential amino acids, and I'm putting, you know, berries, and I'm putting in peanut butter, and I'm putting in some oats, and this is exactly what I'm doing." And so because I wanted to become stronger, I'm now, like, the opportunity to do that is showing up. I also want to be profitable. So it's very clear, hey, I want profits this year. And because I'm doing that, all of a sudden I'm starting to see everywhere that I'm not profitable, and then the things that I could do to be profitable. So I want you to clarify your top three. That's going to be the homework from this episode. I want you to clarify, what are the top three priorities for you in your future? As soon as you get super clear on what you want, you're going to see the ways to make it happen everywhere. You know, Dr. Hardy says, "You may be so busy picking up all the bronze coins off the ground, all the pennies, and you're picking up penny after penny after penny, that you're missing the gold coins that are sitting all around you. You can't see them." As soon as you set your future goals and make them really big, you start to see everything around you that is conspiring to help you get there. Like, as soon as you set the vision, the stuff was always there. Like, the world's just so vast, you can't see except for what you're looking for. And if you don't set your focus, you're going to miss it. You know, the next part of the book talks about waiting to start your dreams. Dr. Hardy says, "The longer you hesitate to follow your biggest dreams in your heart, the longer you delay your essential learning curve." So staying outside of the arena might feel safe, but it leads to a life of regret. And I promise you, feeling safe pales in comparison to living a life without regrets. I've always had in my heart this calling to write a book about feeling good and being positive. And I've had so much fear that I won't be good enough at it. You know, I've always had this calling to teach people how to feel better and more positive in their lives. And I had so much fear about getting on the microphone and starting a podcast that no one would listen. Like, the fear was so big. And Dr. Hardy said, the greater the dream in your heart, the more resistance you'll feel to following it. And really, my fear was a fear that I wasn't going to be good enough. Well, honest, the first draft of the book I wrote was bad. I've rewritten that book 5 times. It is so much better now than it was 3 years ago when I started it. And I'm so excited to share it. Like, it is an awesome book, but it wouldn't be awesome if I hadn't started 3 years ago writing. You know, go back and listen to the very first episodes of The Good Mood Show. They're not as good. But, you know, 90 episodes later, and I'm using consultants and talking to coaches and listening to other podcasts and figuring out how to get better and better and better. Because I'm in the arena, I can learn and improve. And I'm so much further ahead than if I had just never started because I let my fear get in my way. So what do you want to start? What's in your heart? You know, Dr. Hardy said that being successful but ignoring your heart calling is really failure. What do you want to start and be bad at in the beginning so that you can be excellent and get really, really good at what you really want to do? Get in the arena, get started. We do that by setting specific goals. And, you know, in this book, Dr. Hardy says that every single action that you do is goal-driven. He goes on to say, "You are intelligent to the extent that you are intentional and conscious about the goals that are driving you." when you set your goals, then you're being conscious and intentional about them. If you don't set intentional goals, you're still goal-driven, but your goals are subconscious. Usually, when your goals are subconscious, they're driven by trauma. And you may have goals to not repeat that trauma again. And you end up living really a timid and small life. So set big, specific goals of what you actually want, because without specific goals, you're going to live a life of regret. And every single human action is goal-driven. The next point that Dr. Hardy makes is what it was really a big one for me. And he said, it's so much easier to see how much we've changed from the past until now than it is to imagine how much we're going to change from now into the future. You know, think back of where you were 10 years ago. Where were you in 2014? Who were you in 2014? What were you doing? Who were you hanging around? You know, what was going on in your life back then? When I think back to 2014, I was doing the best I could and I was doing well, but man, I'm 10 times the person I was 10 years ago. You know, at that point, we just had one child. I didn't know how to be a dad, but I was doing the best I could. You know, now we have four children and I, you know, every day I'm becoming a better and better father. You know, I was doing the best I could as a husband. I'm such a better husband now. You know, at that point, I had one business. It was small. But 10 years later, like I have multiple businesses and we're doing so much more business than we used to, 10x what we did in that time. You know, at that time, I didn't even know what, you know, what a podcast was. And now we've got, a top global podcast. I hadn't written a book. Now I've written a book. You know, at that point, we lived in a different home and then I built my dream home. You know, at that point, I had just a few assets. Now my assets are 10 or 20 times what they were 10 years ago. So I'm such a better version of who I was 10 years ago. You are too. But the thing is that 10 years from now, you'll be probably even better than you can ever imagine. And so it's really hard to imagine how much you're going to change, but it can become easier and easier because imagination is a skill that can be developed. And you develop the skill of imagination by taking the time every day to visualize your future. The more you practice visualization, the better you get at it. And then the better your future gets, which means the better your present gets. You know, Dr. Hardy made a point to be easy on yourself right now. He said that your current self is temporary. Knowing this allows you to love yourself more right now because it's just a temporary version of you. You're going to get better. You know, you can make mistakes right now and you are going to make mistakes right now. I make mistakes every day, but it doesn't mean that you're not on path to being a better version than you can even imagine. When you are committed to a certain change and you are committed and you're not going to give up, that outcome is a certainty. If you don't give up, you will figure it out. And so your trajectory of where you're headed is far more important than your current position. Your current position is just a temporary position. Just continue to set goals and decide that you're going to become the best version of you. You know, he talks about the unconscious a lot. And there was a point that he made from one of my favorite authors, Dr. David Hawkins, and he said the unconscious will allow you to have only what you believe you deserve. So even if you want a big goal, like for me, I want to be profitable this year. Well, if unconsciously I don't think I deserve to be profitable, then there'll be a sub-goal to sabotage everything and not be profitable. So you really need to work on the unconscious beliefs that you have and try to find those unconscious beliefs of unworthiness. That comes from shame, shame that you're not good enough to deserve good things, or guilt that you deserve punishment because you've done bad things. So the more you can remove unconscious shame and unconscious guilt from your subconscious, and you do that just by trying to find, you just ask yourself questions. Hey, where do I not feel worthy for good things? Why don't I feel worthy? And write it down. So if you ask yourself, why don't I feel worthy for good things? Or where don't I feel worthy for good things? Or where do I think I deserve to be punished and why? And write it down. Then you can just flip it and say, wait a minute, that's not true. the truth is that I am worthy. You know, God wanted me here. You know, I'm a child of God. I deserve good things. Yeah, I've made mistakes, but I'm forgiven. The truth is that we all make mistakes, and God forgives everyone who asks for it. So I don't deserve to be punished. And so you just rewrite the truth. And the truth is you are worthy of everything great, and you don't deserve punishment. Because thinking that just holds you back from shining your light as great as you can, and then holds the whole world back because you're punishing yourself. No one else is punishing you. So find those unconscious shame and guilt patterns and clear them out so that you can have the big goals that you want. Dr. Hardy says your future is based on whatever you are actively measuring. So as you set these big goals, put a number next to them. You know, I want an 18% body fat. I'm at 20.7% right now. I'm not thrilled with 20.7%. I'll be thrilled with 18% because that's what Dr. Ryan Smith said was optimal. So it's measurable. Well, now knowing that, I'm not choosing the donuts and I'm not choosing the sweets as they come across the, you know, the office here, because it would take me further away from a goal of 18%. It's measurable. So, you know, and this is like really imagining your future self as like a mountain. You know, imagine that this future that you want is a giant mountain. And anytime you're presented with an opportunity, ask yourself, does this take me closer to the mountain, or does this take me further away from the mountain? And that's what I was just talking about with sweets. You know, sure, having a donut would taste good in the moment, but my future self is this mountain of 185 pounds of lean muscle and 18% body fat. That donut doesn't take me closer there. So ultimately I'll be happiest by going towards the mountain. You know, be committed to your future and simplify your life by removing the lesser goals. And the lesser goals would be anything that's taking you away from the mountain. You know, one of my favorite things he said as we're starting to wrap up here is that any desire in your heart for anything good is God's proof to you that it's already yours. I read The One Thing by Gary Keller, and he said something very similar, and it's always stuck with me. He said, if you have a vision for something, that's already God telling you that you can have it. Ben Hardy said, desire in your heart for anything good is God's proof to you that it's already yours. So God wouldn't give you a vision for something good in your life if you couldn't have it. So if you have a vision for something you want, it's yours so long as you commit to it and decide to do whatever it takes to get it. Accept that what you want is already yours and do from that spot, and you'll then start to see the relationships that get you closer. Once you commit, providence moves too, and all sorts of things start to occur. I'm going to end this with the last exercise in the book. And Dr. Hardy recommended that you create a time capsule. He tells about how him and his wife, Lauren, the first year they got married, wrote a 10-year time capsule. And they put letters that they'd written to their 10-year future selves about everything they were going to accomplish in the next 10 years. And they put those letters in a jar. And that jar sits on his mantle. And he's about to open it this coming year and read where he thought he was going to be in 10 years. That's a time capsule. So his recommendation, and it's the exercise I can leave you with too, you've got really two pieces of homework. The first was identify your biggest three priorities, that mountain for you. Get very specific with them, put measurable metrics next to them. The second thing I want you to do is to create a time capsule. So I created a time capsule. I wrote a letter as if I was 52 years old, talking back to my 42-year-old me, so proud. And I wrote this letter and I said, Matt, if you're reading this, it means you made it to 52. Congratulations. Hey, here's all the things that you've accomplished in the past 10 years. And I listed off all of the greatest things that are in my heart that I want to accomplish. And 10 years from now, I'm going to open that letter and I'm going to see how it compares to what actually happened. You know, I think when we do these things and we write out very specifically what we want for our life, it often comes true. And usually it's even way better than what we thought. So I hope you've really enjoyed this conversation on, you know, reframing your past to see it as powerful, and then creating such a compelling future that your present has no choice but to be amazing. It really brought me out of the lowest low and has brought me into the greatest version of me yet. Appreciate you listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Good Mood Show with Matt O'Neill. For free resources, videos, and materials about getting into your best moods, head over to thegoodmoodshow.com. See you next week, same time, same place.